Hi, my name is James Breaker, and I'm incredibly droided. And this is Phil's Moto Blur Cast. Doom, doom, doo 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 doo.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 51 for Thursday, February 24th, 2011. We're back. I don't know what else to say other than we are back. We haven't been back as our semi-original foursome in, God, almost a month now. I am Phil Nicholson, your host for the night. I am the editor of AndroidCentral.com, and I have recovered from a whole lot of traveling and a whole lot of Android, which has actually not let up since I've returned from all these events. If you're new, welcome. If you're in the chat room, anybody in the live chat room, we record this live on Thursday nights. Anybody out here new? First show? Anybody? Yes? No? Yes? There's one. There's another. Sweet. Raise your hands. I can't see you, but raise your hands. So here's how we do it. We record this live on Thursday nights and edit it and chop it up and spit it out recorded version. But if you're here live, you get to partake in the chat room, and it is crazy. So I highly recommend you're here live on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. And with us, kind of the usual crew, is Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Howdy, everyone.
And we have Mickey Papillon, who you might know from thecellphonejunkie.com.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Glad to be back.
And we have Corey Streeter from the Android Central Forums.
Hey, everyone. I am glad to be back as well.
And that's our show. Thanks. See ya. Any Android we should talk about? So, I mean, it's been a while since the four of us have been together, right? Everybody kind of took a couple weeks off. We were all sick for a while, weren't we? We had just illnesses going around and that crud that's been going around. Then I started traveling for a couple weeks, and now we're back.
And spread it all over the globe.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I've gotten half the world sick. So if, like, the stand happens, it's probably my fault. What do you guys want to talk about? The four of us have not talked about Mobile World Congress. Should we talk about that a little bit? We did a couple quickie podcasts while we were there with Dieter Bone and Dan Rubino from WP Central. Anything in particular you guys would like to talk about? We saw, basically three more major Android tablets released. Two of them are Honeycomb, one is not. We saw like a dozen new phones. Anything stand out you guys want to talk about?
Well, I had a question that now is a perfect time for me to forward it to you.
Okay.
Did Sony Ericsson do a good job with Timescape on the new Xperia phones?
I am the wrong person to ask, believe it or not. That's like the one thing.
I was the wrong person to ask, too.
That's the one thing, and we'll need to ask Dieter. That's the one thing I didn't go to. The one event I didn't get to go to because I was at Samsung. So Mobile World Congress, for those of you who don't know, it's in Barcelona, Spain, and is a hell of a lot of fun. And it's basically just like 5 days of monstrosity. Got there on, we got there on Saturday morning. Sunday night, Samsung had its event at the same time as SE. So Dieter went out to SE, and he saw the Xperia Play, the Xperia Pro, and all that stuff. I will say I used the Xperia Arc at CES, and Timescape has gotten much, much better, or at least it's faster. How about that?
Okay, well, that's good enough.
Yeah.
Faster is better.
Yeah, so we had that at SE. Samsung had, the Samsung Galaxy S2, which is thin and fast and even lighter than the Galaxy. Oh, yeah, I mean, it's incredible. I can't wait for you guys to all get to play with this thing.
Lighter?
Yes. Might be lighter.
Wow.
Feels like, yeah, I mean, it's you thought these things couldn't get any lighter. I think they just did. It's thinner, too. I mean, it's amazing. It really is just amazing.
So like the Galaxy S3, you're going to have to tie it down so it doesn't float away, right?
Pretty much. And then they had the 10-inch tab, which is nice. The Honeycomb tablets all look the same. I mean, they really do look and feel the same, except for LG, who we'll get to in a second. Well, how about now? So LG has the Optimus, what do they announce? The Optimus 3D, which has a 3D screen, which actually is better than you would think. I was walking with an LG PR guy, like one of the head PR guys, and they're like, seriously, what'd you think? He's like, honestly, I thought it was better than it was better than I thought it was going to be. And I was like, me too. I mean, it's gimmicky. It's definitely gimmicky, but it's better than I thought it would be. And then they have the Optimus Pad, which has like 3D cameras on it. So their big thing is, yeah, you can watch 3D, but what good is that if you don't have any 3D content? So they have a special YouTube channel to watch 3D content. And then you can actually record 3D, you know, because each device has dual cameras on the back and will record in 3D, and you can see it live as you're doing it.
That just blows my mind. Where are we going with this? That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's gimmicky, but it's their thing, and they're doing it right. Like, they're not just saying, hey, here it is, do what you want with it. They're giving it a, you know, they're giving you a mechanism for shooting it and for uploading it.
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily saying it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I just know three years ago, who would have thought that we would have 3D cameras on a cell phone?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's insane.
It's not an issue that you ever were trying to, you know, solve. There's no...
That's right. And that's true.
You know, it's not like we were walking around going, well, boy, this would be great if we could, you know... I can't remember who it was I heard say it, but why don't we try and master normal pictures first?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Normal video
first on phones. It's an answer to a problem we didn't know we had.
Right, right.
But, you know, they're trying something different. You guys know me. I like to see somebody do something different because I can only, like, review 13 Sense phones. And I love Sense and I love HTC, but I can only review 13 of them in a year before I just start to go nuts and Moto Blur or TouchWiz or whatever it is. So we had that. No, LG was pretty impressive. I mean, it's 3D and it's a niche thing, and we'll see how it goes. We'll see if any of the US carriers pick it up. I mean, that's a big deal for us, right? A lot of the stuff we see there, in fact, just about everything we saw there is European centric, right? So who else? Moto didn't really do anything. And then HTC had their big event on Tuesday morning, and I was fortunate to go because it was tough to get into that thing. Not a whole lot of U.S. press got in. So they had 5 new phones, including the 2 Facebook phones. Basically, they have that Facebook button, which I will say, you know, hats off to HTC. I mean, I don't so much care about the Facebook functionality, and having a dedicated button to it is kind of like, okay. But, you know, Peter Chow said, it's like, look, we're not just going to put a button on this thing to take you to the Facebook app. That's not how we do it. That would be stupid. So when there is something that you can share, the button will light up and you just push it and it'll, you know, send a web page or send the picture, you know, automatically up to Facebook. So it's done pretty well. They didn't let us play with those phones because the software's not done, which was kind of interesting. So maybe we'll get a better look at CTAA. I don't know.
That was smart. That's a whole lot better than a million forced closed pictures all over the internet. That was really wise of them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's not unusual for this stuff, right? Like, the Zoom wasn't ready at CES. They didn't actually let us play with it. And I've used the Zoom, you know, half a dozen times since then. So I'm actually pretty familiar with it. You know, all the reviews went up this week, and, you know, we'll get ours up in due time. But, like, once you use it for 10 minutes, it's, you know, you're pretty comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see how those go. I kind of like the idea of that better than I do a Kin phone, which, you know, just crashed and burned. I don't think I would center a whole phone around since. And Mark Zuckerberg had a little, recorded video spot in HTC's presentation. He's like, look, there's not going to be one Facebook phone. That would be dumb. So, you know, there are going to be dozens of them. And that makes sense. So HTC, what else we got? The Wildfire 2, the Incredible 2.
The Desire S.
And the Desire S, yes. So
that one kind of caught my eye.
All very nice phones, yes. And all very familiar. So, I mean, the new Sense is only a year old, right? We saw that at MWC last year, and they're continuing that. So we have the new version, but definitely the same line. So anything that you're used to, you know, you're still going to be completely familiar with. I think that's about it. Had a lot of good meetings. Met with Adobe. Got to see some of the cool magazine stuff they're working on for tablets for Android. And that's cool for me.
You got know, to like, slide down a slide.
Oh, my God. The Google booth. The Google booth. And they call it a booth. It wasn't a booth. It was like half a hall. It was huge. So they had probably about 30 developers there. I didn't count. A lot of them were the same ones we saw at the Honeycomb event, so I didn't spend too much time with the developers. But so they had developers there to show all their stuff, and then they had a smoothie bar, so you could get smoothies in the in four flavors. What were the honeycomb? There was one they didn't have that I was expecting, and I think it was Froyo they didn't have. I think they had cupcake and donut.
Maybe they ice cream? Clear.
No, absolutely not. The smoothies were good. They had that giant slide. If you guys haven't seen the video, go watch it, because we had fun with that. And for the record, I didn't just totally bust my ass on the bottom of that slide. I did that on purpose. No, really, I did. All right, nobody believes me, but really, I did. So the Google Hall was just awesome. They, you know, it's Google. If you've never, you know, been to any of their things, they totally blow it out. Went to Eric Schmidt's.
I have to say something here, real quick.
Yes.
I showed that video to my wife, and when the train of phones was going by,
oh, yeah.
She said, "I can just tell Phil's in heaven, isn't he?" And I said, "Yeah, he's in heaven."
That was like a gigantic rotating, like one of those sushi bars. That thing was huge.
Exactly.
Yo sushi.
So at I.O. last year, they had like a wall of Android phones. And I think I did a video of that. It was just the phone sitting there in cases. And it was actually pretty boring. And I'm sure somebody looked at that and said, how can we make this cooler? And they had this, you know, conga line of phones that just went by. And, you know, you could stand there for an hour and probably still not see them all. You know, it was pretty incredible. You know who did a really good video of the entire hall and much better than mine was Andrew from Andronica was there. Great guy. Known him for a while. And he did a really cool video of it. So if you haven't seen that, go watch it because it's better than mine, although he didn't go down the slide. That's all I'm saying. I gave him a hard time about that. So we did all that. We hung out with, you know, the usual blogger crew. Nothing really untoward except for I almost missed my flight leaving because we overslept. Went out and partaked in the nightlife a little too much on the final night there. And it's like 5 o'clock. It's like, you know what? I'm going to get up in an hour, but I'll just lie down. And next thing you know, it's 8 o'clock and Dan's banging on the door. Dude, we're late. And his flight was in an hour. Somehow he made it. I'm not sure he ever got his luggage. I made my flight with like 20 minutes to spare and then was fine until I almost got home to Pensacola and they turned the plane around to Atlanta because of fog. So I had to spend an extra night.
Oh, God.
Had to spend an extra night on the road. And the worst part was I had gate checked my bag, my carry-on bag, trying to be a nice guy on the last flight home. And so they lost it for like a day. Oh, my God. So all in all, you know, successful trip, a good trip. We're going to get ready to do it all again here in a month at CTIA. Sigh.
At least in the United States.
Yes, in Orlando. So it's, you know, I can drive there in 8 hours. Not a big deal. So that's that. Anything else from MWC you guys saw? We saw the Silver Zoom. I don't know. That's about it, I guess.
Well, let's talk about it because I think the Zoom is probably on the top of everyone's mind this week. And, you know, there's quite a bit out there about it that, you know, for good or bad, it is what it is. You know, it's still an expensive product, and I think it's going to be a tad difficult at $600 when you can get some of the competition for a few hundred dollars less than that. Even though, I mean, there are some definite upgrades to it, but you know,
well, let's talk about the price.
Good.
No, let's talk about the price because some of us were crunching the numbers, and Gina Trapani. Was talking on Twitter this afternoon about how people have gotten the numbers wrong. And in fact, I heard it on ABC News. That they said, oh, well, it's $200 more expensive than an iPad. Well, $200 more expensive than a Wi-Fi-only 16-gigabyte iPad, sure. You know, and that's a 16-gigabyte iPad, so it has half the storage space and no camera, right? You know, they're still very different devices. And there's no denying the iPad. It's a great device. It's also still pretty expensive for, you know, 32 gig. It's, what, still $600. So you can get it on contract for, what, $600, off contract for $800, for $790. Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of money. I don't know. Where do you guys stand? I mean, is the price itself? I mean, don't worry about what it is, but just the price itself turn you off?
I think the sub $500 price is where it's at. I think $499 is there's a mental barrier going over $500, and so I realize that we're talking about a product, and I'm sure they got the price as low as they wanted to in order to keep the margins that they felt they needed to make it a successful product. But I think it could be to its detriment.
I just
there's so many tablets coming out that in 6 to 7 months, the Zoom isn't going to be as relevant as it is today, and prices are going to drop a lot. So
and that's kind of my thing, right? Like, I saw two other tablets at MWC that look and feel a whole hell of a lot like the Zoom. And that's not a bad thing, right? I think that's some solid hardware, and that's probably some sort of, like, chassis design that Google gave them. Like, here are the specs you need to have. But they all have Tegra 2. They all look and feel the same. Really, the only differentiator is LG with the whole 3D thing, and I don't care about that. I might wait a month or two and see where the prices go.
Well, I you know, I'm not going to begrudge them the price. Mm. They have people that do all sorts of research to decide what price point, you know, they want to meet. But I don't care if it was only $300. I needed to do something for me before I consider buying a tablet.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm in the camp that, you know, it's kind of neat to have on the coffee table, and I can totally see watching one of these new reality shows that have auctions on, and you want to grab it and say, hey, I'm going to look up and see how much that costs. But I can do that with a netbook, and I can't think of anything else I can do with a tablet. So I'm really going to have to be swayed.
Yep.
Well, and that's a fair point, but I think we're past that when we're talking about this. I mean, that's you're not just going to buy. You're not going to just drop $600, you know, on a device that you're going to use. Well, some people might, but most won't for a coffee table thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have not been able to play with Honeycomb yet, and so I can't talk about it, but from what I understand, it's very nice, and they've did a very good job with it, but more than that, it feels very premature. You've got, you know, this whole 4G upgradable, you know, and then they come out, of course, with the micro SD doesn't work, and then, of course, oh, well, now Flash is not enabled, and I know Adobe will get that in a couple of weeks, but I don't know. Doesn't that just make it feel like, I mean, it just totally feels rushed. I mean, this feels like a product that...
Let's talk about those for a minute more, and I don't mean to dwell on them, but, all right, so the Zoom was announced in January, right? And when they announced it, they told us, look, it's going to be a 3G thing at first, and then you're going to have to, it's going to be hardware upgradable to 4G. So at the time, we knew, like, you're going to have to take it somewhere, whether you take it to a Verizon store. Turns out, Droid Life got a leaked slide that, you know, you're going to have to send it to Motorola. They're going to have it for 6 days, and they're going to do it all for free, right? They'll pay for the shipping, and then they'll swap out whatever it is they have to swap out. But
well, now, my understanding is it's only free if you're on contract. That's something we need to look at.
Interesting.
And, now, see, that wouldn't make sense, because that's Verizon contract.
But I can't argue with that, yeah. but we can't.
Well, we'll learn more about that, I guess, as we get there. Yeah, I'm not crazy just on principle. I would wait. I would wait for 3 months probably and buy it, at which point we're going to see them cheaper anyway, right? So you've got that, and then you have the micro SD card thing that Mickey mentioned, and we knew about that in January as well, and that just doesn't make any sense to me. At the same time, these are 32 gigabyte devices, so I don't think it's the end of the world. Just kind of principle of the matter, right? Like, you're launching this thing, and that's not working.
Don't make it micro SD expandable if you're not going to enable the functionality. Just leave it out.
Well, one thing I think everybody needs to realize is, to me, the Zoom is the Nexus One of tablets. It's a developer's prototype device. So it's going to be buggy because it's first.
Absolutely it is. And, you know, well, no, and this is what all the developers we've seen have been developing Honeycomb on, right? You know, they're not doing it on Optimus pads. They're not doing it on G-Slate, same thing. You know, on the new Samsung one. They've been doing it on the Zoom. So I guess, but at the same time, if you're going to launch it, it needs to have these things. Flash is probably just the strangest thing. I don't know how we all got, you know, a month and a half through, like, using and testing. You know, we haven't been, nobody's been, you know, using and testing these things full time in the media yet until, like, the past week. But how we got through this entire thing and didn't realize that Flash wasn't on there or wasn't ready? I mean, when that story came out, I was like, really? How did we miss that? I mean, because, oh, okay. You know, it's going to be here in, what, like 3 weeks? Okay, fine. But again, the principle of the matter.
What I want to know, I'm waiting for the day when I'm walking down the street and people are snapping photos with their tablets.
And the giant, if you haven't seen it, you know, the camera app, it just looks ridiculous because it's like a 10-inch camera app at that point.
Why is it on there? Am I missing something? I don't get it.
It's bizarre.
Take that off and drop the price a little bit.
It is the strangest thing. But, you know, okay.
It's probably actually cheaper to have a part that has both cameras on it than it is to just have the front-facing one.
Yeah. I don't have a problem having the camera. That's fine. But, you know, you're not going to be, like, carrying this thing around like it's, you know, a point-and-shoot.
Right.
At all.
You're not going to be carrying it around like it's anything. You'd be carrying it around like you're carrying around a laptop.
Yeah, anytime anybody talks size with these things, I keep going back to my wife's argument, and that is it won't fit in a purse. A 7-inch tablet fits in a purse.
Yep.
Even if you have to sand your fingertips down to use it.
Now,
with the Motorola, at the Motorola, when they did that event at CES, they showed the video, and they showed like the guy putting it in his suit pocket.
Yeah, no.
Leaving the house.
Not so much. Now, I haven't put Honeycomb on my Nook, and, you know, I've seen videos of it running, and it's, you know, compared to all this dual-core stuff, it's slow. But I haven't experienced it at 7 inches yet, and I want to do that, because it's not going to be the same, but I don't think it's going to be horrible. It was funny, if you haven't seen that video, I put the ported version from the SDK on my Nexus One for like half an hour just to see, and it was hilarious, because, like, the buttons are so small, and, you know, that's not the way it's meant to be run, but it was fun to try. So we'll see. I mean, let's talk about that for a sec. We don't know exactly what we're going to get in whatever the I version of Android is. Eric Schmidt did say during his keynote that the forks are going to come back together. That, you know, what you see in Honeycomb, there will be parts of that in Gingerbread that come back together in I. Now, it was interesting because he made a point, and it was pretty obvious that he made a point of not saying ice cream or ice cream sandwich or whatever. So if, you know, one of those will still be the nickname, we'll see. And I guess it would kind of make sense, but he made a point of not using a name. So that was kind of interesting. I'm excited. I wonder if they'll show us that at IO.
I'm hoping.
Might be too early. I don't know. We'll see.
Who would ever thought they'd come up with ice cream?
Jerry and I are going to be at IO. That was one of those crazy things. I'm not sure we've talked about since then. I was on a plane when the IO registration opened up, and couldn't get through, and couldn't tell if it's because I was on a plane or what. But then nobody could get through, and the servers were just jacked, and whatever tickets were left over from the week-long pre-sale or whatever from developers who were there last year, just it sold out in 59 minutes. Basically, it's insane. I'm not sure Jerry knows what he's getting into.
I'll be all right. I'll just geek out and put my geek blinders on and just focus on Eric.
Anything else on the merge? Or on the merge? Damn, chat room.
Damn. Don't open that can of worms.
You mean the Thunder Merge, right?
The Thunder Merge. Oh. That's what I'm still calling it. Ah. All right, let's talk Thunderbolt for a second. So some yahoo did a post saying that we heard it was going to be out on February 24th, which is today, and it's obviously not out today. Here's what I think.
Well, day ain't over yet.
Well, yeah. The day ain't over yet.
Who was
right.
That yahoo?
No, I think the 24th might well have been a date because a couple of us were fed that date by some pretty trusted sources. And you guys know me. I hate these unsourced, somebody told us rumors because there's no, you know, there's nothing to stand behind, right? Release at 11:59, says Droid XCon. If there's anything more I hate than unsourced rumors, it's midnight releases, because it's usually right as I'm about to go to bed. It's like, oh, damn it, really? Okay, I'm awake. So no, it's not out yet, and we still don't know. I think there's like a March 4th date running around now. I'm kind of to the point where we're not going to run any more of these rumored date stories, just because, whatever. I mean, it's nice that somebody talked to somebody, But it'll be out when it's out, which won't be soon enough. And it's, I think it's pretty obvious. You see these other stories that the video Skype's not ready, or it is ready, and they're trying to get it ready or whatever. It'll be out when it's out. It'll be out soon. I'm looking forward to it when it's out, but, you know.
Yeah, so am I, especially after playing with the Inspire and having kind of an idea what it's going to be like. It's going to be a really nice phone.
There was a good post on PreCentral the other day about WebOS and what's been going on there and in launches for, you know, the two phones they have, and Giant, you know, subhead was, you know what, things change. And so that's how you guys need to take this stuff, I think. It's not that they, not that it's been delayed, not that they miss it, and I'm sure, like, internally they might have missed, you know, a date or two, but, you know, we've never had an actual, like, date given to us, and that's why. So it'll be out soon.
The only thing you can rely on is the official announcement, right?
Exactly. Rumors are fun. I enjoy rumors, and I mean, look, we got burned on that, right? I mean, I was told, you know, this is going to be the date that it'll be out, and it wasn't. You know, sucks, we were wrong, and that's why I often don't play that game. And it's not so much that I don't believe the source. I believe the source 100%. But, you know, things change. And, you know, it doesn't mean the end of the world. It doesn't mean the source is bad or lied to us. It just means things change.
It's not some flyer you picked up off a Xerox machine.
That's exactly what it was, actually.
Oh, was it?
No. Oh, man. So, no, it'll be out soon. I'm glad to see everybody so excited about it because, on one hand, I mean, I hate to call it just like a vanilla HTC phone because, you know, a vanilla HTC phone is better than, you know, just how many crappy, you know, feature phones.
Say it. And
what? Pick one.
Moto Blur.
Oh, no.
No. Ouch.
You know, the worst HTC phone is better than, you know, any feature phone out there and most of the smartphones. You know, I think I just get burned out after reviewing so many of them. But no, I'm excited to see everybody so excited about it. And I'm not sure, is it the LTE that's really got everybody so excited, you think? I mean, you guys are reading what's going on with forums.
I don't know. I think it's just people are ready for something new. You know how we get.
I've actually never seen anything like this. I mean, the original Droid was... Obviously, it was really popular. The incredible, I mean, they've all been popular, but this one is just like, it's amazing seeing all the enthusiasm and everybody wanting to know when it's coming out and all this speculation. And
bigger than the Incredible, you think?
The Incredible, the thing with the Incredible is everyone was upset because it ran out of stock and nobody could get one. And so that really kept the momentum on the story going. But In this case, just watching the forums and the energy and it's been huge. It's been way more than anything I've ever seen.
People are being a little shy about it because it's not dual core and we don't have any Qualcomm dual core yet. It's coming. I think it's just a matter of time, but you know, Nvidia beat everybody to it. But the same, I mean, I've been using dual core for a while. I still have the Optimus 2X here. I got to finish up that review finally. You know, and straight here's my lead. I'll give you guys a hint. Here's my lead of the whole review. It didn't like burn a hole in my hand. It didn't run through the battery in an hour. I mean, for all intents and purposes, it looks and feels and acts like a smartphone. It does.
Well, it should. That's good.
Exactly, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, it does graphics pretty badass. You know, and will output video.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Speaking of which, we didn't talk about this in the MWC thing. So like, it's Tuesday night, and Nvidia drops quad core on us, quad core mobile processor.
Yeah,
it's not Tegra 3. It's some like slightly different track apparently, but wow, it'll output. Let me see if I remember the number 2560 by 1600. It will output video at. TVs don't even handle that.
Nope.
It's insane. Anyway. So, you know, I mean, like, the Thunderbolts, you know, same old Qualcomm, you know, which, again, isn't horrible by any stretch of the imagination. But, ooh, there's an interesting question from a Timeless Blur in the chat room. Is multi-core the new megahertz myth?
Yes.
Yeah, you think?
I think so. And after really putting it to the test, you know, the single-core HTC processor that they put in the Inspire... Mm-hmm. Unless you are counting on what's coming down the pipe later, there's nothing you need dual core for yet.
What do you think, Mickey? You're being awfully quiet over there.
Well, I mean, it's certainly one of those boxes to check as you're looking for the latest specs, you know, on a new phone. But, you know, there's something to be said about, you know, getting some of these more efficient processors that can do the things that you want them to do. And there's always going to be a room for the multi-core processors because there's always going to be people that want the highest, most powerful spec'd out devices that are out there. But we've hit a very nice sweet spot with the current crop of phones, and not just Android. I mean, it's everything. 1 gigahertz is a great speed for a phone. Most phones, I kind of equate this 1 gigahertz, you know, limit that we're at right now, or this milestone, is kind of like the 2 gigahertz of desktop or laptop computers. Mm-hmm. Like, really, anything above 2 gigahertz, do you really care all that much? In fact, you know, we've seen, you know, a lot of the netbooks and other computers lately that have, you know, run these processors at, you know, 1.4, 1.6 gigahertz and are running perfectly fine. I'm not saying that there's never going to be a need for it, or a group of people that are looking to get these types of phones that have these, but we're kind of getting to this, do we really need more point?
Well, and that's kind of my thing. I think we were talking earlier that some of the other bloggers were making fun of me for carrying around a Nexus One. It's like, you know what? It does what I need it to. I mean, the Nexus S is nice. I've got one here, but it's a little odd in my hand. The Nexus One, I love the weight and feel of it. I love the shape. It's fast enough. I'm not outputting video. I'm not hooking my phone into a TV. I'm still curious to see how the Atrix does with this whole dock thing. I mean, we've seen that how many times, right? And if it works, it works. We'll find out. But the Nexus One does what I need it to. I don't necessarily need dual cores to, you know, output video. Or I will say the gaming looks damn sweet on it, though. So if
yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's a large majority of people that want to play games on these phones too.
No. If you're gaming at all, awesome. You know what? Dungeon Defenders runs pretty well, I think, on the Droid X. It runs so much better on the Optimus 2X, though. You know, that much more. So,
I think the biggest thing that the dual core is going to do for us is it's going to allow stuff, you know, Dungeon Defenders 2 or something of that caliber to be able to be brought to a phone.
A lot of it, actually, and I went back and was talking with NVIDIA about the quad-core thing, and they're showing me demos, and you know, to my untrained eye, it's like, you know what, this looks exactly the same as what you showed me yesterday on dual-core. When they start pointing out the little things, you know, the shading here, the shadows here, I forget the name of the game. It was like some medieval thing. And they're like, yeah, we have 600 like characters like fighting right now instead of 200 or whatever it was. I mean, that's when you start to see a difference. So not necessarily it's the shiny. That's what it is.
For now.
It's interesting. It's pretty darn cool. My hands didn't melt.
So they're using these numbers to take advantage of us. You're not really getting anything more. it just looks like you are on paper.
I guess.
So you want it.
And more is always better. I mean, you're not going to go backwards, right? You know, things are always going to get better and faster, and they should. Question is, how much are you willing to pay for it? Do you need to pay for it? But I'm excited. Like, I mean, to see that much cool stuff come out in the span of like 5 days just blows your mind. So that it for the Zoom and the Thunderbolt? Are we done with the Thunderbolt? It's not here yet. It's coming. Wait, hang on. Nope, not here yet. Sorry.
Yeah. Give us a date.
You give us a date, Corey. No. Everybody else is guest.
28th.
Corey Streeter.
No, March 4th.
March 4th. Corey Streeter, ladies and gentlemen. You can find him in the Android Central forums, and he'd be happy to discuss that date with you.
That is what's known
Flame
as
away.
It's what's known as a wag. A wild ass guess. Kind of the other crazy news of, well, hell, it's just been the past 2 days. We've had like 13 different OS updates dropped on us in the past day. At least that's how it feels. So let's start in no apparent order. The Epic 4G was updated, and then they stopped the update again. If I'm not mistaken, this is not the first time that's happened with the Epic. In fact, I remember the first time because I was in an airport coming back from somewhere. And so they've had to halt the Froyo update because there were problems with data connectivity and apparently the micro SD card. No, it wouldn't brick your phone, but it would just quit working or something. In fact, I need to check with my mother and make sure hers is okay because I manually updated yesterday. So they've halted that update. You can clear it all with a hard reset, apparently, but that's not good. I mean, that's not an answer, right? That's the nuclear option for, you know, for a small-scale conflict. So you've got that. The Captivate has been updated. I did that. Well, actually, it leaked out a couple days ago, and I applied the leaked update. That worked fine. It turns out that was the official one, the KB1 update. So we did a quick video. It looks like Froyo. Don't know what else to say about it. So that got pushed out officially through Samsung Keys. Oh, don't get me started on Keys. So it's not going to get pushed out over the air, apparently. I need to get with Samsung and find out why. I understand Keys is their thing, whatever, but it's 2011. If an update's not pushed out over the air, I don't want it.
Right. If I need to hook up to my computer to update or do something like that, there's other options.
Oh, and with the pain in the ass that is, you know, Android drivers in Windows and having to make sure that first the phone is set up to, you know, USB mode is Keys, and then you also have to have it in USB debugging. And this is not anything that any consumer should ever have to do.
And that's absurd.
I want to find my nearest Samsung person and, like, slap him across the face and be like, why? Stop it! Why? Bad Samsung.
The Epic 4G, so didn't they have to pull another Froyo release as well, like up in Canada? Or this isn't the first time this has happened.
Yeah, that was for the Telus Fascinate,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Or one of the two, yeah.
Guys, it's like, get it right.
And we get hell for defending Samsung a little bit, but all that's on Samsung.
Yeah, yeah.
The carrier should have caught it, but if it's bricking phones or you lose data, Samsung, come on, man.
Man.
People always ask, how come CyanogenMod can get stuff out? How come all the ROM chefs and whatnot can get updates out beforehand? Well, one thing you do have to remember is that is a much, much smaller population. Like, you know, orders of magnitude smaller than what Samsung and the carriers have to support. So that's part of the reason it takes so long. But that said, you know, it needs to work. And it's just, you know, if only for the face saving, right? I mean, Samsung, they need a break. They really do need a break. And they need to get it right, first of all. But they need something to go their way. I haven't heard any problems with the Captivate yet. Have you guys?
No. And, you know, I was just about to mention that.
There are probably fewer people using it than an Epic, I would think. But, you know, there's still a decent base out there. Man, it's so weird being in Europe. I saw so many Galaxy S phones and so many Tabs just like out in the wild. But yeah, Samsung needs something to go their way. And it's not bad hardware. It's good hardware, just with crappy things going on here and there. And it's not like any one showstopper thing. It's just a lot of little stuff that's been driving people nuts. And, you know, the updates are not good when that happens.
Well, the other thing between CyanogenMod and Samsung is CyanogenMod doesn't have to deal with the carriers and integrate all the bloatware and all that other stuff, too, to make it work.
Exactly.
And the end users, you know, you have a little bit more savvy end user that's installing CyanogenMod than you do that's just, oh, update, yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I've been putting up with the, you know, I've been running the CM7 nightlies since they came out. And I've been putting up with the multiple reboots a day and haven't once complained, you know, out loud because that's just that's part of the deal. But damned if it's not frustrating. And if, you know, they want me to keep using CM7 as opposed to stock, you know, that needs to be fixed. And I'm sure it will be. But, you know, that's one of those things that needs to be fixed or I'm going to complain about it.
But remember, you're doing public beta bug testing now.
Exactly. No,
they have never said that that's ready.
Exactly. And right now, I shouldn't be complaining.
Yeah. And I'm sure if you spoke to any of them, they would recommend that you install, you know, 6.1. It's stable and works well. Mm-hmm. But if you hate yourself or want a bug test, install 7.
Yeah, how crazy am I? I take CM7 nightlies over to Europe and use them live. But I would be going up the escalator to the press room and seeing my phone reboot in my pocket. It's like, oh, damn it. There we go again. At least the reboots were pretty quick. All right, so we had the Captivate, we had the Epic. The Aria is being updated on Friday, so by the time most of you guys are listening to this.
Public service announcement.
Yes.
If you ever have any plans to root your phone, don't take that update.
Ooh,
your
really?
Phone is unrootable.
Really?
It changes the bootloader, and everybody's having a very difficult time getting that one cracked open.
Did they merge with Motorola?
Well, no, you know, it's not encrypted. It's just different. No,
we had that problem with the Evo, right? Like, or at least I have.
Right.
I mean, I've had more problems with that Evo. I gave up on it. I love that phone, but as far as hacking.
You know, all of them. The Hero, the Evo, you get the updates, and then it's no longer rootable. But the issue, you know, the Evo has 1,000 great developers working to crack it.
Mm-hmm.
The Aria probably doesn't have 1,000 great developers working on getting that cracked. So it may not ever happen.
So we got the Aria. Let's see, the Dell Streak. AT&T Rogers finally getting Froyo. The rest of world ones got them already. But the carrier-supported ones are just now getting them. And then today, finally, I guess Google announced, what was it, late last week, early this week, that the Nexus One would be getting Gingerbread soon in the coming weeks. And it looks like a couple of people had it pushed out. And, of course, we got the manual update locations, and that means we can all update. I updated mine. Jerry, you updated yours, right?
Yep. Yep.
Good to go. Nice to have back on there. And I actually did a little video showing how a manual update goes, because I know a lot of people are worried about that. They're really not scary at all, I don't think. Completely safe.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same as if you had just waited for it to come to your phone. And you pretty much, you know, describe all that in the video. Everybody should go read it if, you know, you're not into rooting and custom ROMing.
It's something. This isn't rooting your phone. It's just taking the update and you tell your phone to apply it instead of the phone doing it automatically. That's the only difference. But a lot of people had asked, so did a little video showing it. What else? Am I missing anything you guys want to talk about yet before we forge on?
No. So I do want to. I would say we do want to talk about a HSUPA on AT&T.
Yes.
They're going to kill somebody.
And it's very good that Mickey's here because he can explain it far better than I can. So you've had the Inspire, right?
Right.
And you talked with AT&T, and they flat out said, "All right, so it's a 4G phone, right? AT&T 4G in quotation marks."
I mean, I talked to somebody in PR for AT&T, and they've directed me to an engineer, and I got a one word line. It just, the Inspire is not HSUPA capable. That's exactly what it said. It didn't say it was hardware incapable or software. It just used the word incapable.
So that means it's not 4G?
It's software. You know, I don't know. 4G and me, I don't care what you call it. If it's fast, I like it.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
You call it fake 4G, HSPA+, I don't care what you call it. I just want it fast. And AT&T cuts the upload speed to non-4G speeds. And it's all software because you can root it. And after you've rooted it, which is a huge pain in the butt, I hope we get that fixed, it takes 5 minutes to flash something on there and your upload speed's double, or in my case, triple.
Oh, really? You have the ability to do that? Oh, that's cool.
So there it is. Everybody was asking about it. That's, you know, I'm not going to judge anybody. AT&T knows better than anybody about strain on the network. Maybe anybody but Mickey. Mickey knows a lot about that. I hope he's going to chime in when I'm done. But on the technical side, it was just a matter of installing a new radio.
So what they've been doing is AT&T is only permitting certain handsets to use the specific release of the 3GPP's standard. And so what that means is iPhone 4. So the iPhone 4 is the only device that's a handset that's been certified for AT&T to be running on the 3GPP's release 6, which is the one that introduced HSUPA. All of the other devices that are out there right now, they what they call handshake with the network at the release 5, which is what was introduced, believe it or not, back in 2002 as the HSDPA standard. So that's what all of these Android devices that are having these upload problems are, why they're having these issues is because they are essentially only HSDPA compatible. They don't have the higher upload speed capabilities. So they're saying, though, that they believe that they're going to be certifying many more devices within the upcoming weeks. And so we should potentially be seeing it. And that's why if you're once you root it and move on, you know, you can take advantage of this. It's just that the radio build that you have in the device right now is not one that supports this. It's kind of a weird thing, but, you know, they're just trying to do what they have to do to maintain their network the way that they need to. So.
Well, and I think that's a big reason why the front-facing camera was left off the Inspire. I mean, imagine AT&T doesn't need another phone that's going to decimate its network.
Yeah, they're not doing it because they hate their customers. They're doing it to
help their customers in their own, little way. So I'm not going to judge. Mickey's explanation makes perfect sense because I know the Nexus One, or like if you change the radio on the Inspire, it's no longer an AT&T device and it'll connect just fine. So I can see that, you know, branded devices have to do that handshake. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not crazy about the whole Me Too, you know, thing for calling it 4G, whether it's fast or not.
Well, here's the other thing, too, that's going to be happening is that USB modems that are out there right now are already at Release 7, which is that's the HSPA Plus standard. So there's already devices that are essentially two releases ahead of some of these other ones that are just now coming out. And granted, they're not handsets, you know, they're sticks. But yeah, the 4G thing, I don't know. We can call it 4G if you want. I mean, it's whatever. It's a marketing 4G term at this point. And in fact, if you're really interested, here's a cheap plug for you that the Cell Phone Junkie Unlocked next week, we have a whole show about Gs. So we're going to be going through every single G and talking about what they mean, when they started, how the technologies tie into them, and, you know, really why 4G is, you know, only really now available on Verizon today.
You can have Snoop P-O-G-G-G-G. did you see that?
Yeah, as our guest. Right, yeah.
It was pretty funny. I liked it. So that's it for the updates, I think. that was just like in 24 hours. It was insane. Other hardware stuff, so the Atrix is out. You can go get it. We'll have more on that later. A couple software things of note. Twitter app's been updated. Go get it. Bug fixes and the like. Gmail was updated and then pulled because it broke for some people. Not everybody, but some people it did not take too well. Android Market now has a book section on the web. That's kind of cool. Though apparently you can't see it in Canada because Blaze is like, what are you talking about? You're crazy.
Wah, wah.
Sorry, dude. You know, Google hates Canada.
Yeah. I don't understand that. Canadian money is actually better than American money right now. I would think they would do anything they could to get in there.
Man, I kept like 100 euros because I wasn't going to lose money to change them back. I'll just use them.
blame you.
Firefox 4 Beta 5 is out and fast. And there's actually a post we need to do still that shows how fast it is. And it's getting better and smaller. And if you haven't checked it out, now would be a good time to. The Daily, which, you know, is Rupert Murdoch's little newspaper thing he launched on the iPad, is coming to Android tablets in the second quarter, so look for it in the next few months. I'm kind of excited. I really am excited to see what traditional print publications can do in the digital space, and what Adobe has done. Looks, you know, if you haven't seen like the Wired, I think we did a Wired video. What else have I done? Sports Illustrated. There's somebody else I did that looked really good, and I forget who it is, and I'm seeing it. You know, which is TV, but whatever. I mean, it looks really good, so it's nice to see people coming along.
Now, come on, Mr. Hefner. We're all waiting for the playbook application.
Need to inquire about that for, you know, purely educational and journalistic purposes. But
oh, yeah, I only read the articles, you know.
And Minecraft is coming to Android. I've never played Minecraft, but apparently it's popular with the kids. They're playing it on the streets.
I guess.
A million copies.
I don't even know what it is. I'm so old. I'm so not cool. Chat room, what is it? You guys tell me. What is Minecraft?
It's amazing. There you go. It is amazing.
People play it all the time. What is it? I don't understand. No? Nothing?
You're asking.
Addicting game that is amazing? This Yo Gabba Gabba without Jack Black. Okay. Yikes. Ugh. That's it, I think. You guys want to do a couple emails and voicemails or get out of here? All right, we're skipping voicemails, going straight to emails. Cameron writes, can you suggest any alternative Bluetooth voice dialing applications? I'm not too big on default voice dialers' insistence of asking me to pick a contact after telling it who I want to call. If it can also tie that into irritating pop-up asking me if I want to call using Google Voice, even better, but that's not necessary. Anybody?
You know, what I do is I make 3 or 4 different contacts for the same person and name it Joe Mobile, Joe Home, Joe Office, because of that same
thing. I thought they were supposed to do that just by default. You say, you know, call mom at home, and it would, you know, that's how it used to work in, like, Windows Mobile back in the day, and we're still dealing with that?
Well, it doesn't seem to work for me. Mm. I feel exactly where Cameron's coming from.
I gave up on Bluetooth.
I gave up on it except for in the car. I use it all the time in the car. All the time.
My ear gets really hot when I wear one, so I'm like, all right, something's wrong here. This can't be good.
It's the radiation.
No, stop it. Stop it. All right, next.
Next Somebody else. Is Jamie from Birmingham, England. She writes.
No, wait, See, I knew you were going to do that. That's how I say Birmingham. Like Birmingham, it's England, so England, it's Birmingham.
We have an England. We have an England listener. That's pretty cool. Am I reading that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's awesome.
We're bad. We're nationwide.
Okay. So Jamie says from Birmingham. That's not even close, is it?
That's even worse.
Now say, pardon me. Can I have another?
No, because I so. And I'm not even going to try and do the accent that I was going to do to say it, because it's not going to work out well for me.
Leo Laporte, you are not.
Indeed. Do you know if you can control how often Android syncs Google Mail contacts and calendars? I've wondered if there's a setting or app that would allow you to control this, or whether by reducing the frequency of these synchronizations to every 30 minutes, for example, could save some battery life. Starting at the back and going back to the beginning of the email. Yes, of course, changing the frequency is going to conserve battery life, because it's synchronizing, it's using data, which is using battery. One of you that's got one of those fancy Android phones with a settings menu in front of you, could you please walk through how to do that?
If you use your Google account, you can't. That's the problem.
Right.
Yeah.
It's push.
But, okay. I guess I was thinking for, they're saying Google Mail, huh? So there you go. I was thinking for Exchange. I'd have set it up for Exchange.
That's it.
Yeah, Exchange, it's just like you said, there's a setting there, you just tell it how often to sync.
Well, so you could use like Touchdown with Gmail, right? You could, because it's all IMAP, or what is it, K9 or whatever that app is.
Yeah. K9 works really well.
And then you could control it that way.
I was at a...
But not the native email app.
I was at a cocktail party Saturday, and this I hate to call him an old guy, but somebody like my dad's age, who I only see at these things, he's like... You know, and he knows what I do now, and he's like, "Oh, I broke down. I got a smartphone. I never want to use any of these things." And his thing, he plays poker via email. There's some email poker thing, and he's like, "I couldn't. Ooh. It wouldn't work in Gmail." And he's like, "And I didn't know any." And finally, they used K9 to do it, and it worked just fine because it's encrypted or whatever. That's my story.
Cool. That reminds me of my mom, who has a $2,000 computer to play solitaire. That's it.
All right. The next email is mine.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about this.
Wait, no, I want to
read it. Andre. Go ahead. You go ahead and read it then.
No, you read it.
Okay. Andre writes, "Hey guys, I listened to the podcast a few episodes ago, and I was surprised when you all agreed that the MyTouch 4G was the best phone on T-Mobile without even mentioning the G2. As an owner of one, where is the love? Now, I can only speak for myself. The G2 broke my heart. The G2 was supposed to be the successor to the G1 and give us the stock Google experience with a sliding keyboard we want, with great hardware. And then they pulled that stupid stunt where it rewrites the system whenever you, you know, whenever you make a change. And they went through all that work to make it, you know, what they thought was unhackable. And then they turned around and told us a whole bunch of different stories. G2 is done. I never want to see a G2 again. And it's not the phone's fault. It's
tell us how you really feel about it.
I'm telling Andre, that's why. And it's because it was such, I had such high hopes. And man, I took it out of the box and I'm like, oh yeah, this is sweet. This is, it's fast. And then I saw what they did and made everybody jump through all these hoops. And I just, I don't want one anymore because of that. And, you know, maybe it's just one sale, but HTC and T-Mobile, whatever you all did, whoever did it, you lost one sale in West Virginia because of your little stunt.
That's kind of now, part of what's keeping me like, eh, do I want to use an upgrade on the Atrix?
Well, yeah. You know what I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, I know. I know. All right, who's next?
Ellen writes, okay, so I'm a bit unclear about version numbers and which devices are planned to get them. Can you guys throw some light on the situation?
And this kind of goes back, I chopped the hell out of his email. So I did that post last week talking about how the Nexus S would be the only one to get Android 2.3 and everything else was going to go to 2.4. I want to revise that, and this was off-the-record stuff I got that was confirmed by somebody else. I think Android Community posted something, which is why I finally went ahead and posted something. So I'm thinking now I want to revise that, and I might have kind of misunderstood that 2.3 might just be Nexus 1, Nexus S, and that anything you buy will have 2.4 automatically. And people in the forums were complaining about that in the comments. Well, no, we want Android 2.3. And maybe they're just talking about the Nexus 1. It's like, but you're going to get 2.4. It's more. It's one more. But so I don't know. I mean, it might just be a little branch. Think of it like the like 2.0 and 2.01 for the Droid, right? Motorola Droid is the only device to get those. And everything else hopped right up to 2.1, so I don't know. I wouldn't worry that much about that. 3.0 is Honeycomb. That we know. 2.4, unofficially, we're pretty sure, I'd say 90%, is also Gingerbread, right? That's not... 2.4 wouldn't be Ice Cream Sandwich or Ice Cream or whatever I is going to be, right? You wouldn't go back down, I don't think.
Yeah, well, remember what we were talking about earlier this morning. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's up, but I don't think we'll ever see a 2.4 because 2.3.3 is SDK version 10,
right?
And 3.0 is SDK version 11, and there's no room, and I just don't see Google going back and making a change and telling all the developers, hey, you get to go through and rebuild your apps. So, you know, unless they change versioning numbers, I don't know what's going on with that.
It's confusing, to say the least.
Yep.
For us, too, and we're pretty good at this stuff.
Well, an ice cream sandwich has to come out in the summer, right?
Well,
you can't have an ice cream sandwich coming out in the fall or winter.
I guess. All right, Mickey, you got the last one.
Alec writes a comment about the Notion Ink, Adam.
Yes.
Notion Ink Atom?
Yes. It's that tablet that they've been talking about for a year and finally just came out and was kind of plagued and, yeah.
Well, yes, thank you for giving me this question because clearly I'm going to be able to give a great clear answer.
Just read it.
All right, so he says, you mentioned a few podcasts ago that if you don't see why people were so, you didn't see why people were so caught up in the Atom. For me, at least, my interest was drawn from the Pixel QI transflective screen. No other tablet has been suggested to use it. I think it would be a nice answer to the e-paper versus LCD question. LCD color with outdoor low-power usability seems awesome. Okay, fine, it's just a comment.
Yes, no, but it's a very good point, and that's something we forgot about the Notion Ink Atom. I think it's overshadowed by the problems that Notion Ink has had getting it out the door and just the lack of confidence people have in Notion Ink. I'm not sure that the Pixel Key, however you want to say it, tech, you know, makes that go away for me. In my mind, it doesn't.
Yeah, I had a chance to to go ahead and get one while they were available and said, nah, I'll wait.
Yeah. So, sorry we didn't get to any voicemails tonight. Mickey's here, and that makes my computer go haywire, so we'll get back to the Yeah, I'm blaming Mickey. I love Mickey.
That's fine. I'll take it.
Let's recap, shall we? Mobile World Congress. Tablets. Honeycomb. A lot of honeycomb tablets. Zoom.
European toilets.
European toilets. Thunderbolt. No Thunderbolt.
Predictions.
Predictions. Updates. Allegations. Feelings were hurt. Welcome back, everybody. Good to see you guys.
Mickey, that's your cue.
That's a very awkward silence. Nobody else is glad to be back?
Oh, you were talking to us.
Who else would I be talking to?
Well, there's like a chat room out there.
I do talk to the chat room, don't I? How's it?
I am so happy to be back. It feels like it's been like a month.
Phil, it's my birthday. Can you give me a shout out on the podcast? Yes, I can. Happy birthday. Tech 10. See, you thought I was...
Mine's coming up on March 2nd.
Is it?
Yes.
Happy birthday.
How old are you going to be, Corey?
39.
For real?
Yeah, Corey's...
Yep.
Corey's you better start digging a grave. You're catching up to the old man.
Crankier. Mickey, wrap us up.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to podcast@androidcentral.com or give us a call. Leave us a voicemail, 888-468-6158. Type in extension 222, and Phil will be able to get you on the show next week because apparently I will not be here.
No.
You can also follow us all on Twitter. @AndroidCentral is the site. Phil is @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is @GBHill. And Corey is @CStreeter. You can also follow all of the writers for the site over @AndroidCentral. The entire site, podcast, and everything you love about Android Central is brought to you by the Android Central Store, found at store.androidcentral.com. You can also call and order your new items at 888-468-6158.
That was fast.
Yeah.
I love it when you do that, Mickey. I do. That just sounds... It makes me feel like I'm part of something professional.
What do I make it
do? Do what I can for you.
Well... You make me feel like I should be using a European toilet with no water.
That's what my...
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're done. Thank you for joining us. If it's your first time in the chat room, good to see you guys. Hope everybody behaved themselves tonight. If it's your first time listening, come back next week. It might be better. It might be worse. You never can tell with us. But I will promise it'll be fun. Ish. Right. That's
fork.
It.
Fork.
The fork.
Fork.
The fork.
Oh, I should have learned how to say it in Spanish. Stick a fork in us. We're out of here. See you next week, guys.
Spanish.
I said, we're out of here. See you next week, guys.
Oh, good night.
Adios.
Sigh.
Although I still didn't get the
show
notes.
What's going to happen on the second one? You know Mickey's Law.
Just start.
I'll just wing it.
Shut up. Corey.
Okay.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the...
No, it's not going to work.
See you, thanks.
That's terrible. Terrible, terrible,
man,
terrible.
We are the most unprofessional podcast you will listen to tonight, I think. I'm just saying something.
I had to, Phil.
I knew it was coming.